Hello, in this podcast, I discuss the actual art of podcasting. It's not something that I think I'll make a living out of or people will flock to, but it may be interesting to see how someone with very little means practically addresses the problems that one encounters in podcasting. So there's three layers of problems that you address. The physical layer, which is basically getting the right device and area to podcast, the actual software device that is translating that podcast that you've recorded onto an internet podcast, and finally the skills level of podcasting, how you produce something, how you invest either in your own skill or post-production skills, those areas there. Now, this is a little bit unusual that I'm not particularly podcasting about a particular topic or a particular belief system or to get a particular audience. I'm podcasting as part of a broader capabilities strategy, that is to develop basic capabilities which cross-fertilize each other. So from a podcasting background, I should be able to produce better YouTubes, and also when a student asks me a problem at school, I can actually explain it at a first attempt, but produce a more generalized explanation for them, available for them in podcasts, so they can listen to it on their way home on the train. Also, when I'm involved in situations, it's quite often easier to debrief into a podcast, store that, get a transcript of it, and I'll go through the various ways that you can use it. So the overall idea is not necessarily producing podcasts as a end product for an audience to consume, but it is part of the capabilities platform that one often develops in skill areas. As a working scientist, you develop a capability platform. So mentioning science, I should explain that this is part of the Peter Hill Explains universe of podcasts, where I discuss, as I say, things scientific, but I scientifically explain things. So let's get back into it, the actual physical layer of podcasting. I'll just go through the evolutionary stages, which I went through. I initially used a PC microphone and discovered that produced rather poor quality sound. It required a lot of sound manipulation. Every time you were corrected for one sound in the background, you lost another range of intelligibility. And so I labored with that for a while, because that was a natural engine with which to develop YouTubes with. So you develop a YouTube, you'd need some verbal commentary with it. So I produced probably YouTubes that are a bit sort of not in the spirit of YouTubes. It's more like a lecture with overheads and things happening. So you'd think it was a natural YouTube for entertainment, but that didn't matter. That was the aspect that I was after, that has been able to use YouTube as a teaching resource. But getting back into it, it wasn't until a while that I was involved in an Australian product called Blurt, where you have a document on a mobile phone and you're panning, scanning and everything, and your voice is recorded and integrated into a dialogue or message. So you can send a message and people can message back and forth, but not message about something abstract. They can message talking about the document, and as they talk you can see what the viewer sees. And I noted that when I tried to use this software with a computer base, the sound was dreadful, and this is the first time I was instructed that a mobile phone is basically a dictaphone machine. Its primary aim is to capture voice, and then once it captures it, it then manages it onto the internet. So it's a little miniature podcasting device. So this is very good, and I had a fairly cheap mobile phone and used this. And obviously the two capabilities of mobile phone meant that I could be mobile, and I had to fill in some time or develop or think while I was undergoing cardiac rehab. So I've just had, 10 months ago, a major heart operation with this is just the background for you, a valve replacement. That really knocks you about for a while, and you're going back into a fairly unsympathetic system where there's really no structure to understand where you're coming from or support you. It's nominally there, but it can be very easily ignored. And with the benefit of being from a training situation, I could work out well in advance that I was going to be hung out to dry if I didn't actually start training myself. And so this is the origin of Peter Hill Explains and the mobile phone era. So I began developing on that with the mobile phone. The mobile phone had a few problems with it. Quality, the file type had to be converted across and then uploaded to the software end of things. So there's that aspect. And also walking about, you'd have people stop you and start to speak to you in the middle of your podcast, which is rather good. Or you'd suddenly have a spider drop on you or a possum jump out at you as you're walking around doing your cardiac rehab. Now, as it's happened, I'm going in for a second operation. I've had to wind down my cardiac rehab. The valve that was put in, about a third of the stitches have come out. So literally my life is hanging on a thread, so to speak. So that will happen in about a week when I get a reoperation. But this is about the time when I'm able to sit back and think about podcasting. So as I was developing or assisting other people, I said, you could improve your audio by not using a computer microphone. And they said, oh, no, in fact, we don't use a computer microphone. We use this thing called it's a VP10 from Epson. And I thought about it, researched, and went out and bought it. It costs about $100 Australian. You could probably get it for about $80. I think if it was popular, its value should be down around $30. It's actually quite a nifty little thing. So this is a dictaphone pen, and you immediately think, oh, this is a bit creepy. It's all designed for you to record information surreptitiously. I know they don't say that, but the idea is it's a pen and you just flick a switch on it and it starts recording. Now, there's a few good things about it. It's got it's basically designed for recording voice and eliminating other things. It's designed for podcasting a little bit more. It has some more features about it. So I'll go into it. So the past while I've been using the VP10, this is the physical layer of things to use. So it's a rather like a black, one of those big permanent marker pens, but it's all black. It's at the top, it's got two little microphones for stereo input. It's got a little silver button on it to start recording. When you press that up, it beeps once and you start speaking. It has also some various other components to it, in terms that it has software to eliminate background noise. In particular, it's got a pocket mode, which eliminates the rustle of it being in your pocket. It's actually rather good, and it rather picks up voices, and it also equalizes voices, so you'll be speaking and someone else will speak to you, and miraculously the volumes are equalized. So there's a lot of nifty software in there. It's got a pocket mode, a conference mode. It's also got a dictation mode, and down in the dictation mode you can edit it so it stops recording when there's silences, so you can be reading and do a little blip. Now this obviously doesn't work if you're in a noisy environment, and so it's a nifty little thing. You pull off the back and put it in a USB drive, and it's just like a USB drive with all your files there. I'll go into that a little bit more later, because we're beginning to get onto the software side, which I promised to quickly talk to you about my understanding of what I use. So by and by, this is not your professional podcasting area where they provide a special microphone with a special cover on it to stop your voice going pop, pop, pop on top of it. But it is actually good to actually find a quiet spot, a quiet, relaxed spot, which doesn't get too hot in the Australian sun. So it's March, summer's over, but today it's going to be 40 degrees in Sydney. And so I thought, well, what I'll do is I've got a little bit of quiet time here. I'll just pop in my Taraka car, which is rather a large car, sit down, perfect, ideal environment. It gets rid of all the background noise. It's almost an ideal podcast zone. But of course, even here, what time is it now? It's about... it's only 9:30 and it's far too hot to be in the car, so I've come up now sitting on the porch in a beautiful floating suspended rocking chair. It's rather good to go in there. So that gives you another area. This is finding the place to podcast now. Again, I used to have to use my time efficiently. In rehab, I'd be working all the time, get a small amount of time to rehab, and use that time to actually podcast. And of course, as you're walking and podcasting, I think you can only achieve a certain quality, which is okay when I talk about the actual objective, the actual theoretical objective of what you're trying to do in podcasting. So that brings to a conclusion the physical side of things, which is basically the VP10. To go over again, it's got a small AAA rechargeable nickel hydride battery in it, and you can buy them fairly cheaply, the batteries fairly cheaply. There is one trick, of course. When you're putting it in a charger, it doesn't automatically charge. It blinks okay equals charging. Okay, okay, I'm charging. No, that just means if you want me to charge, press the okay button. There's several buttons. There's an okay button, sort of more like the old a button you'd find on the old iPods. I think they were called iPods. iPod Mini, those little buttons. There's one of those. There's a start stop for recording or hearing back. There's a button which allows you to press through menu set dates and stuff like that. So there are three buttons, and there's this trick on recharging that you, when you recharge it, you have to press an OK button. And this sort of makes sense, that you want to completely discharge a battery and recharge it. So the nickel metal hydrides, even though they only cost a few dollars each, and you can have several of them running around, firstly they work better on trickle charge, but then not after trickle charge. You can dump charge them very quickly. They do heat up, of course, but they also have a memory. So the idea is that it doesn't want to be charging all the time. It only wants to charge on command. So there's that little trick. So for a while I was a bit scratching my head, how come this is not charging, even though it says okay equals charging. It meant okay, press okay if you want to charge. So apart from that, it's just quite a lovely little device. As I promised, that's covered the physical background, giving you a little bit of background on the processes that I went through. So why I give you the overall process, that you may be at various stages using a computer microphone, using a mobile phone, and eventually moving using the VP10. Things you may not understand, but as the different platforms are described, you'll be able to work your way through it. So it's a bit of a long-winded explanation, but there's some value in the way that's been explained. Getting back to the software side of things, initially, I suppose the major thing is Camtasia 9. Camtasia 9 is a video editing program, and it's got relevance to podcasting. And we'll just go onto that at the moment. At a certain point in time, you will actually convert your podcast to an MP3 format, or a format which can be loaded into Camtasia. Just stay with me for a little while. So it's loaded into Camtasia or Audacity, either of those two platforms. You can then get into it and edit various things you don't want in it out. But Camtasia is important. That's a platform. Audacity does not go automatically up to YouTube. You can't, and there is a reason that you want to go up to YouTube. You don't have to make a YouTube of every podcast you're making, especially if they're, say, private or they're to deal with, a developing situation. You want to actually produce a high volume of notes very quickly for, say, a political situation which may be happening in the workplace. You want to be able to produce hours or pages and pages of notes at a far higher rate by podcasting. So the idea is you say have an incident or something happens, you produce a podcast on it, and this podcast is put into Camtasia 9. You clean it up, and Camtasia 9 allows you to upload it to YouTube. Now, uploading it to YouTube may not mean all that much, but one of the things of being able to do it is that you're able to pull out the caption file, and YouTube is and the Google voice to text or MP3 to text is without parallel. I haven't seen anything remotely close to the quality that's produced out of it. So follow the help to actually extract the caption file. So you say captions on, and then you export the actual caption file. The caption file is so you can actually play it along, and you can actually read the captions off. There is some text-to-captioning software, but that's really for you to listen and type. This actually does it automatically for you. So several hours of speaking, and as you get up to the skill of actually thinking ahead and producing verbal documents in your head, you can produce quite nice verbal documents. There is a problem, I find, is that it